So we're going to go ahead and start this off today. This is your boy, Raps the Funk, and I am here with...
The Goddess.
With the Goddess.
From Ohio.
Okay, that's what we claiming. We're claiming Ohio now.
Listen, no. I can't not claim Ohio. What you mean? That's where I'm born and raised. I've been living in Virginia longer than my hometown, but that don't make me from here. You hear me? I will rep VA 2 up, 2 down all day. But if you're going to ask me where I'm from, it's Ohio.
Okay. Got that whole Ohio flair up in here.
That's right. It's a Midwest thing.
And the reason we up here today is we're going to discuss some serious things, right?
Of course.
We're going to break the stereotypes. We're going to unveil the truth about gender relations.
I like the way you said that.
Yeah, so we're going to jump right into it with a couple of stereotypes.
Okay, what you got?
Well, you know, I got a couple of stereotypes that I believe women have for men. Okay. And I want you to let me know if I'm on the right pace or, you know, maybe we can discuss a little bit about it.
Gotcha. Confirm or deny.
How about this? Emotional unavailability. So they're saying the men are not emotionally there in a relationship and we are like emotionally distant and we can't express our feelings in a relationship.
Now, I will agree to an extent. I think more so, one, men have not been taught, right? Nor has it been acceptable for men to actually like understand their feelings. But that's not to say that there aren't men out there that do, because there are plenty of what is considered emotionally intelligent men in the world. However, there is, I believe, a huge stigma about men being able to express their emotions, which is hard. Like, come on, ladies, if you want him to express himself, understand that you're not going to like everything that he has to say.
Right. And his expression don't always come the same way the next man's expression come.
Correct. So that means you actually have to learn your person and adjust. Like, so for me as a woman, my father, I met him when I was 10, like for the first time, or excuse me, 8 for the first time. And subsequently after that, he really only came around to discipline us. So imagine hearing that bass and that baritone only in a way of anger or aggression, and then going out into the world, right? And later in life, meeting men and being triggered by that same bass and baritone because of my upbringing.
Yeah, that's deep right there, man. So basically, you found people that acted kind of like your father. Is that what you're saying?
More so, I'm saying that it was hard listening to men without feeling a way, because I had never heard kindness from an adult male. Softness from a man didn't sound, you know, it sounded aggressive to me, just because that's the only thing I'd ever heard from a black man in my person, like in my arena, even on TV.
I got you. Did you experience your mother and your father's relationship at all?
Unfortunately, I ended up becoming their conflict mediator at a very young age. So I've been an adult a very, very long time, because they used to, you know, my dad, when he did come home and attempt to be nice or friendly with my mother, one of the most infamous arguments was, I don't understand why she don't want me to take her on a date. Mind you, whole time she's complaining about him never taking her on a date. So as a child, I'm like, I don't get it, Mom. He just asked you to go to the movies.
Right.
And now you fussing at him because he asked you to go to the movies. It seemed like you're being counterproductive. Now, granted, those were not my words as an 8-year-old. Kids are very much more direct, and I'm sure that came across as offensive or rude, but you know, we only have so many words, and all of them were given to us by our parents. So be careful what you teach your kids.
Definitely. So the emotional part, the being unavailable emotionally, you know, I feel like my relationships always, you know, tended to emotions. But in some of those relationships, the female felt like I wasn't. And they was always like, well, rap, you don't care. And I'd be like, I do care. It's like, I care a lot. Because I display that I care by the things that I do. Hmm. You know? Like, do you think that that's a conflict? Do you think that, you know, again, men display their emotions differently, you know?
Well, people display their emotions differently. So, again, it's really about knowing your person.
Yeah.
A lot of men, in my experience, are so used to the stereotype of being financial providers and sausage providers that they don't know how to provide anything else. When we start to talk emotion, they're like, you got your girlfriends for that, you know what I'm saying? Or because they're so in tune with finances, they feel like, oh, if I give her things, right? And that's not always the case, because if you don't know your person's love language, whatever you're showing them, how you're showing them may not be how they receive it. And that's probably what happened in your past. You thought you were showing it because that's the way you show it, but that's not the way the women received it. So they couldn't get it.
They couldn't get it. It wasn't a connect. So it's very important to know your type of man or your woman in a relationship. So it'll be easier for you to attach yourself emotionally or get more emotionally involved with them, because it's probably more categories of men. There's certain relationships, but it's basically three types of men: the romantic type of man, the provider type of guy, and you know, the equal partner, the 50-50 guy, you know.
Oh Lord.
So why you say, oh Lord? It was the oh Lord on the third one, or oh Lord on all three of them?
Oh Lord on the third one. It's because that is one of those key words that would set the entire population off. 50-50 man.
The 50-50 guy. He is still able to be emotionally attached to the relationship, and he could be emotionally available also. But the 50-50 guy, and I guess I'm gonna listen to what you gotta say, but I think you guys, the females, think you guys are getting slighted.
Well, again, please don't lump me in with that, because I used to be the type of woman that when I met a man, whatever you trying to do, baby, I got your back. You want to run an ice cream parlor, I got the scoops. You know what I mean? If we are in a season where we are both building, and I feel like you're closer to your goal than I am to mine, then I'm going to push the hell out of you. However, unfortunately, being that type of woman did not fare well for me.
Did you only do that once, or is that, in all of your relationships?
That is who I am at my core, to the point where I had to stop being that way, because it was doing a disservice to me. I ended up having men that, because of their past, either their past relationships or their childhood, couldn't receive that kind of woman. And again, I'm communicative. Excuse me, sir. What do you need from me? What do you like from me? What does the woman that makes you do the things do? You know what I'm saying? It's very easy to become that. Oh, you like a lady that brings you lunch to work. So, you know what I'm saying? Cool. I like that. I like to show off because that makes you feel good.
Okay.
But imagine doing that and then that person turning around and finding fault and error with legit everything else. So you
That's
want
kinda hard.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You want a person to do 150% and you're only doing, you're not even doing the bare minimum, right? Because now what you don't realize is, in the dating scenario, you're not funding the ability for me to leave my job, which I need to pay my bills and take care of my children, to be able to dote on you in the way that might make you feel more like a man. Now how do we bridge this? Because I've done that, and that will make a woman exhausted.
You said something real important right there. So you're saying that a 50-50 guy, do you believe that most women believe that 50-50 guys are basically a half a man?
I don't know.
Because you said, what you said was, okay, 50-50 guy, you're not able to provide me the things that I need, which is leave my job and take care of my kids and pursue my goals.
Now, see,
so
it's not
if
that.
If you were able to do that, I would be able to give you more reassurance that I'll be able to give you more reassurance of that you're the man.
Your 50-50 got to make sense, is what I'm saying, right? It is humanly impossible for me to have the energy to go to work a 9-to-5, get off my lunch break, come to wherever you are. You know what I'm saying? Now, this mm-hmm. is an extreme, but I've had men that like that. And because of how I live my life for my sons, I'm able to maneuver differently, right?
Okay.
But still, why am I exerting so much energy when my emotional needs are not being met? When my financial needs aren't being met? If I come to you as a man, right, and say, babe, XYZ is going on with a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while I can figure it out, I'd rather not.
Right.
But if you don't jump on that, but you still expect me to be at your beck and call and be a beautiful woman for you, where's the actual 50-50 there?
Definitely agree with you. I believe that a man, even in these days and times where the roles are mixed up, I still believe that a man should do men things for their woman.
That's where a lot of women are having the issue, because men aren't doing quote unquote men things. Not to say that women can't do them and blah, blah, blah. But if we're gonna put roles and standards and expectations, then everybody must follow in order for it to work.
Okay. How do you feel as far as when you're going through things or the guys going through things and the exchange between dialogue in those situations, say for instance, something real in relationships, women do things that the men don't like, men do things the women don't like. How would women that you think would like for a man to step to them and say, hey, this is on my mind and this is wrong, and you know, I'm really having a problem with this happening. Can we have this resolved?
So this is going to sound, I don't know, it may sound placating to some people, but when it comes to relationship disputes, there should be a plan already. Like if we are talking and we decide that we are going to be exclusive, at that point, there are a series of conversations that need to be had, right? Mm-hmm. What do we do when we inevitably come to a disagreement? Now, what I feel most couples lack is some kind of objective third party. Because in the heat of any moment, I don't care what you got to say. Or I do care, I just don't know how to care because I'm more concerned about my feelings than yours, which ends up being a problem if you're too emotional, right? You should always want the best for your person, but not at the risk of sacrificing yourself, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, true. How about the guy that's so upset that he's headed for the door, but his significant other or whatever stands in the way, don't leave, this, that, and the third. Do you think that she should let him leave?
Hell yeah. He is clearly upset. And if you know, like I know, men, boys that don't know how to communicate their emotions, unfortunately, the first thing that they do when enraged is start swinging. Does that mean he's an abusive person? No, but I've seen from little boys to grown men, when they can't get their words out, they gonna punch something. They gonna hit something.
Yeah, men get frustrated when it feel like we can't get across what we saying. It feel like an atomic bomb, like, you can't get it.
And, I see it more in little boys, but now I know how to see it when it happens, when it presents itself that way in men. It's like you're saying, it's a boiling pot.
Yeah. That's not a good thing. That's something that men who have problems with conveying their ideas should work with, you know, striking things, you know, because I grew up in a household, my dad didn't hit my mom, but he hit a lot of walls, right. You know. It was a lot of holes and walls back in those days. But, you know, and I never understood that until I went to, I think it was gym class or whatever, and they start talking about displaced aggression and stuff like that. And then I was like, okay, that's what he got. So I started saying it to my dad. I was like, yo, that's displaced aggression. You know, and then he'd be like, shut up.
And see, you know? That's the problem with a lot of our people. We are angry, rightfully so. I want to say James Baldwin has a quote about it. Like, to be Black in America is always to be slightly enraged.
Mm-hmm.
However, right. If we just accept the fact that we're angry, we can actually cope with the anger and then, I don't know, be less angry.
Yeah, that may be, in theory, yes.
Yeah, and it's not as cut and dry, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a one size fits all, but no. You do across the board, women too, right? Women are, when we get overstimulated and extremely irritable, we don't have to use our fists. You know what I'm saying? It's our verbiage. It's the way we talk. It's the tone that we use. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same. It just presents itself differently.